The Burt Show.
Good morning. What do we call her?
Piper.
Piper, you're on Q100. Hello.
Hi.
What's going on, Piper?
Well, I'm looking for some advice.
Well, you came to the absolute right place.
That's what I figured. I'm going to dinner with my boyfriend's parents tonight at their house. And we've been together for 4 months. And so this is my first time meeting them. And I did some Google research on them and discovered that his dad is my gynecologist.
Oh
no.
Wait, say that one more time.
Yeah.
Oh no.
One more time with
he's
that.
He's my gynecologist.
Gynecologist.
Oh no.
His dad.
How long has he been your doctor?
Like for 5 years.
Ooh, that's regularly scheduled checkups.
Yeah, like
wow. Well, that'll be awkward. You don't want
Has that ever happened? Has that ever happened to you, Bert? Have you ever run into your gynecologist in an awkward position?
I've just gotten really, really lucky.
Yeah,
really lucky. Wow. So
yeah. I have never been so uncomfortable in my life. I don't know. How do you approach that?
Dad knows more about you than your boyfriend will.
I'm trying to.
Yeah, a lot. No, well, maybe not. I don't know.
I'm trying to approach this from a strictly common sense place here, but I'm coming from a guy who's never had to go through any of this and doesn't really understand the appointment and what goes on there. But shouldn't he? I'm sure he's going to be able to separate things. So,
I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but it's like, I mean, you tell your gynecologist everything.
You do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to, like, for health purposes, you've got to tell them everything. Like, the guy knows my sexual history.
Yeah.
You know, not that I've had anything bad or anything, but still, he knows my history.
See, I would be more concerned about your boyfriend being weirded out that your dad has seen it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't even think of that.
As the boyfriend,
that he knows, you know.
Not because just as far it, as the as the far as
everything.
I don't want this to be an awkward question, but it's gonna be. Yeah, I do want it to be awkward.
It's probably more awkward for you.
Has your has your boyfriend seen it yet?
Say he's aware.
What do you mean he's aware?
Because if the answer is no, then it's just no. But if it is hesitated, it's yes.
So he knows
right?
He knows it's there.
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
Okay.
Dad's.
Oh, my
God. Yeah.
Good morning, Stephanie. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Good.
Good. I was calling because I don't think there's a way to handle this where comfort is the order of the day. But if you were to tell your boyfriend first, I mean, it's not like you've done anything wrong, so there's no reason to hide it. And the worst thing will be going to dinner and anticipating whether his father is going to speak up and say something, or his father may tell him after you leave. But either way, it's got to be easier for him and probably better for you in the long run if it comes from you.
Isn't there a professional courtesy here, though? I mean, Pops can't say anything.
Until you're... son is dating one of your patients. I mean, that you don't know. But my advice, not that I've been in that situation, but my advice would be probably to tell him and just in case, because if something comes up, how humiliating is that?
Yeah, and the thing is, from the father's perspective, he's a medical doctor, so it's not, it is just medicine to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the concern...
Yeah, but how do you separate the fact that you know somebody's, your boyfriend's girlfriend's sexual history and
you're gonna be.
I think the boyfriend is the biggest concern in his ability to handle it, because this is what his dad does for a living. He's been done this for years, and he has all kinds of patients, and it's just medical thing for him.
Though, too. He's a bar manager, so he's sleeping, and I'm not gonna be able. I don't know that I'm gonna be able to chat with him. I don't know. I gotta try to see if I can meet with him for lunch and wake him up or something.
Let me ask you this:
talk to him beforehand.
Is there a possibility that you have been honest with this gynecologist and your sexual history is pretty long, that even though the father won't be able to say to his son, look, this is the reason why I don't think you should be going out with this girl, that maybe he'll make out some other kind of reason for the two of you not to be together?
That's
even though the truth is he doesn't want to because of your sexual history? Is that what you're scared of?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I went to him right after college, so I mean, I definitely had a history. It's not as not, it could be worse, trust me. And you know, and other than like some bladder infections, it's not. I don't think it's that big a deal. But I don't. I'm just so uncomfortable. I'm so like. I'm just not sure how to approach
the,
it.
It's going to be the elephant in the room. You're going to be sitting at dinner and going, wow. Hi, will you please?
You know, I mean, like, if I don't get a chance to talk to him beforehand, you know, what do I, like,
now,
how do I,
you,
oh, by the
let,
way,
let, now let's fast.
Going and ringing the doorbell or walking in the door, your dad's my gynecologist.
let's talk about a couple
and
things.
And then he'll know I Googled them or something. I mean, he's going to, I don't know.
Because there's a couple things that are going to come up. One, you're going to be at dinner tonight, and it's going to be so on top of your mind that you're going to look right at his dad and say something like, will you please pass the vaginas? I mean, the carrots. That's number one. And number two, you realize that after you have this dinner and where you come in and he says, oh, no, don't call me doctor, call me Jim, you know, and you have your whatever, then you're going to have to go see him again. And you're going to be like, hey, Jim.
No, you've got to change doctors if you and your boyfriend stay together.
But isn't this like, yes.
I've been going to him for so long, and he's a good doctor.
Isn't it like when you find a gynecologist that you really, really trust, isn't it like, I mean, you want to see that one over and over and over
Yeah,
and
but
over
there's
again,
a lot
right?
of them out there.
Yeah, there's plenty.
There's plenty out there.
But think of how convenient it would be
in
when you go home for Easter weekend.
Oh, God, Jeff, nasty.
That's my fear.
Just do it in the guest room.
Hey, Abigail.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I'm a women's health nurse practitioner, so, you know, I do, like, gynecological stuff all day. But first of all, like, he may not, I mean, unless you go there all the time, he may not even remember you. Because, you know, we have tons of patients, so,
That's
you know, and seeing him outside of the setting, like, he probably won't even, he may not even remember unless you're there, like, once a week or whatever. But if you just go once a year. But also, he can't say anything because of HIPAA, because of the Privacy Act. So, but, you know, I wouldn't be weirded out about it because, you know, we see patients out all the time, and it's not like, I mean, I know it's, you know, kind of weird, but I wouldn't worry about it. Just tell your boyfriend and then, you know, probably switch, if you stay with him, switch GYNs.
Yeah, I mean, the HIPAA thing is only that your medical history he can't say, but he can seriously, like Jeff said, mention, oh, well, you know, the fact that he's the doctor, you know, like, it's not like you can't say.
And that's going to be the weird part.
Yeah, so. Oh, I really think we're the boyfriend's reaction, I think, is that what is the biggest concern here, not the father.
That would freak me out.
Yeah.
If I'm in the boyfriend's situation and I know, even though it's professional, that my dad has
seen your girlfriend
for 5 years.
Yes.
For 5 years. Yeah, that's going to be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that mature.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Hey, Cam, you're on Q100.
And then I have to look at his mom, too.
Kim, what's up?
Good morning. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I just wanted to kind of tell you a story that one of my girlfriends can relate to. She had gone to a gyno, and it was the first time. She called me afterwards, said she loved the guy, but there was just something that was strange about it. She couldn't point her finger on it. Anyway, a week later, she calls me and says, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? She said, he's my next-door neighbor. And so she ended up switching. She stayed with the practice, but she ended up switching doctors after a while, but quite hysterical. And he had made a comment about, oh, how's the neighborhood? And she's thinking, what? And she was kind of a space cadet, so she didn't really figure it out, I guess. And, of course,
maybe that's what some gynecologists call that area down there. The neighborhood.
Taking a stroll in the neighborhood.
Yeah. How are the things with Mr. Rogers and the neighbors, if you know what I mean?
Some landscapes look better than others.
All right, so let's go around the room and give advice, because this is happening this weekend. Does she tell the boyfriend before she gets to the house?
Well, I agree with that one caller. I don't know if he'll even recognize her. Because how?
Yeah.
Seriously,
no,
go in there like
I mean,
once a year.
He addresses me by name, so...
So, I mean, unless you're in there probably every day, he's probably not even going to recognize
you. So what do you say, Wendy? You say don't tell?
Just don't tell.
Don't say anything
wear
to
wear a
boyfriend.
Long skirt, be demure, and don't let him see that side of you.
Or you can get a new haircut. Get a new haircut and change your hair color.
He'll never know.
I wear sunglasses.
You tell the boyfriend or not.
I definitely
fake mustache.
I definitely think you should tell the boyfriend because it's always better to tell him up front than to get to that dinner and something be said and you didn't tell him and then your boyfriend's in an awkward position with his family. Yes, you got to tell.
Jen.
I agree. I say tell the boyfriend and change doctors.
Yeah.
I say yes, tell the boyfriend also because if it does get even more serious, it's going to come out eventually anyway. You might as well save yourself some time if he's going to be that hung up on it. You might as well let him know about it now. Jeff?
I think you should act like it's no big deal And then even in the middle of dinner, bring up some condition or burning or something you've been experiencing. Like, it's like almost like it's a non-issue. Like, just in the middle of, hey, does anybody want some chocolate lava cake? Oh, my God! You are my gynecologist! I'm burning! Can you look at this right after we eat?
Speaking of lava.
What?
Speaking of what?
Lava. The burning.
Oh. No!
The Bert Show.
You guys remember who the what relation she was? She was in the wedding party, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She was a bridesmaid in the wedding.
Just
right?
A friend, right. Though, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's play the you have the recap over there, Sean?
Yes.
All right, Tracy's getting her on hold. We'll play the recap, okay. And then we'll fill in any blanks that aren't covered in this little recap that Lyndall did for us.
A couple weeks ago, the group of girls, we all flew out to Chicago for the bachelorette party. The bride-to-be met this guy. She ended up hooking up with him, and then she ended up staying an extra couple days to be with the guy. Her fiance saw all these texts from, like, this random guy in Chicago. They have a huge fight, and basically, the bride-to-be blames one of the bridesmaids, and our friend, who she threw under the bus, is married. Her fiance hears this. He's like, oh my God, that's horrible, and calls the husband of our friend. So basically, our friend's marriage is now falling apart.
So to summarize that, because it's a tad confusing, but the bride hooked up with a guy in Chicago and blames it on a bridesmaid.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to do that because the groom, the fiance, the groom-to-be, has all of the information right there on her phone. He essentially busts her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Is that accurate?
I think so. But she says it's a bridesmaid that she was covering for. So it's not that she blamed the bridesmaid for her indiscretion. She made everybody believe that it was the bridesmaid that had done it all.
Right. So, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was interesting. It was good. It was good.
Did you go to the wedding?
Okay, so I flew out to Chicago where the wedding was going to be.
Okay.
And right away we decided to meet up. There were 6 bridesmaids scheduled to be in the wedding, but mm-hmm. 4 of us met up and got together to decide what we were going to do because 2 of them, like, one was the bride's sister and one was the groom's sister. So we talked about it. We were like, should we include them in this discussion? And unanimously, we decided, like, it's just not appropriate to include them. So 4 of us got together, and we decided that we didn't want to be, like, completely vindictive and go to the rehearsal dinner and then just not show up.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically decided that we just were not going to show up for anything.
Okay. So you, not even the rehearsal either, okay?
No. So not rehearsal dinner, nothing. So, like, and during the rehearsal dinner, the bride called us over a million times, like, on each of our phones. And none of us picked up. We were all together, and we just were like, we're not going to pick up. We're just not going to, because we don't want to have to get into this and have like, a big thing with her at this moment.
Now, what about the sister and sister-in-law? Did they call you too? From the rehearsal dinner?
Well, yeah, they called, but we just we were not picking up the phone for anyone at mm-hmm. that point. And so that's what we decided to do.
So I would assume that the entire rehearsal dinner is obviously consumed with the story of what's happening.
Why you guys aren't there, mm-hmm. yeah.
And the, and then the obviously a very stressful night for the bride. And then she, you know, goes on with the wedding on Saturday. What feedback have you gotten since then? Obviously, you're not answering your phone before the event.
Right. So a friend of mine who was just a guest at the wedding, she was never supposed to be in the wedding party. And she decided she went as a guest. And she told me that basically the wedding kind of went off without a hitch.
Okay.
And so,
with only 2 people standing up for her?
Yep. Yep. Oh, wow. Exactly. Like, they pulled all the programs, so you weren't going to see that there were supposed to be 6 women, but there were only 2. So they just made sure there were no programs out there for people. And she had 2 bridesmaids, and, there were 6 men left over. So instead of having the 6 men and the 2 women, they only had 2 of the men stand up in the wedding party, and then the other 4 men, they just asked them to be ushers so that it looked as if this is how they had planned it to be.
So, I mean,
but
do you think, did you get what you wanted to accomplish?
I think we did, because we didn't, you know, people were calling in and they were saying, like, really, you don't want to hurt the grandmother and the aunt and the uncle and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't do that. You know, they weren't necessarily the wiser. And at the end of the day, the people that really we needed to make a point to, I think, heard the point and knew that her closest friends of so many years weren't going to be there. She knew that. Her husband saw that. You know, the husband of our friend who the marriage was falling apart, like, saw how the women banded together in support of her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the right people were hearing the message.
Mm-hmm. So did the husband of the wrongly accused, did he understand now, and is their marriage better?
Well, I think a little bit. Like, he saw how the rest of us stood by her, and
mm-hmm.
and she told me that he was starting to kind of believe her story a little bit more.
Huh.
And, I mean, I don't think it made him do a 180 and turn right around, but she said that it was getting better, and he was listening to her, and he was going, like, well, you know, the girls aren't going to just stand behind you if you're lying like this. I mean, if they're going to make this kind of a big, bold statement. So I think that they're on the road to him believing her, but I don't know if it's totally there.
Well, the reason I ask is because if you're going to make a big protest, you know, at least you want people to know why you're protesting. And I just wondered if everybody understood why you guys weren't there.
Well, the people who, I think what she said was the people who needed to know why.
Including the new husband?
Yeah, I mean, he knew whether or not he was 100% going to believe the story.
Okay.
I'm not in his head, but it sounds like he's starting to come around.
I think you guys handled it perfectly. To be 100% honest with you, I think that was actually a perfectly way to play it.
Well played.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Indeed.
Indeed. My question is, do you think that you and the other 3 women will ever talk to the bride again?
I mean, in this moment, I can't even imagine that. I don't know why she would want to talk to us, that we basically stood her up at her wedding, but
mm-hmm.
it just is so messy right now, and so many people have been hurt in this process that, mm-hmm. like, I can't even think about talking to her right now.
But women can't not talk it out. Like, at some point in the next...
Not always.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes if it's something that big and you just cut it off, you just cut it off, you know?
Let it go.
Yeah, and I think, too, that, like, I'm curious about the groom that she married.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The bride in question, not the other couple that was blamed.
Right.
Not the accused, but the one that just tied the knot. I'm wondering, I mean, the groom has to know something's up if 4 people don't show up.
Well, that's what I was asking, the new husband.
I don't think she understood which guy you were asking about.
Did the guy getting married know why the 4 of you bailed on the wedding?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that's who you were talking about. I think he probably, I don't know, like, exactly what he was told, because the only person that was going to be telling him was the bride-to-be.
And I'm sure she came up with something.
Mm-hmm. You know, they still got married, so I don't know if she told him the truth.
Oh, doubt that.
But obviously he knows something's up, because, you know, it was a big deal, and he has known us for a long time, too.
You know who this is going to get worked out through is the groom and the other husband.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to be like, what's up with your, you know, girlfriend or wife? Why didn't she participate? Blah, blah, blah. And it's going to go, and then it's going to have to come out and go, I don't want to tell you this, but this is what's going on.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's good. It needs to come out. It needs to come out.
Is a part of you still upset that they went ahead and got married? Like, do you think that was?
I feel really bad for him. Mm-hmm. I really do. Yeah. I mean, whether or not I'm upset about it kind of doesn't matter. I just feel like it's really too bad that they did get married, because, you know, it's starting off on a horrible foot that she lied and she cheated and all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Well, you guys did the right thing, at least, to not support something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then at the same time, not make it a dramatic thing at the church where the entire family would be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know what I mean? I think, like Jeff said, well played.
It was very, I mean, the people who need to know.
Yeah.
And that's it. So I guess congratulations.
Thanks.
Well played.
Well played.
Yeah, thanks.
Indeed.
Indeed.
The Burt Show.
All right, speaking of gas, Quick Trip does say that all their stations are going to have gas by tomorrow. That's the only company that's come out to guarantee that. Also, Governor Perdue is asking President Bush to release more crude oil from its reserve in order to help us out. And also, State Insurance Commissioner John Oxendine has announced he is allowing more of his employees to work from home, which it looks like the more we're going to be without gas, the more employers are going to have to allow employees to do that. Well, clear lanes are about to open at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. These lanes are for travelers willing to pay about $128 a year for a faster trip through security checkpoints, and all lanes should be open by the end of the week. More than 210,000 people have registered for these clear lanes in 19 airports across the nation. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and if you are flying Delta, pink ribbons are not the only things that you're going to see, because 275 flight attendants are going to actually wear all pink all month long for Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Oh, that's cool. I'm flying out on Friday. I'm going to have to look for that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
And then finally, Ronald Watkins, he's in West Virginia. He had surgery to remove a tumor from his rectum. And afterwards,
My butt literally, I literally did one of those Kegel exercises with my butt.
It's going to get worse.
Squeezing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Squeezing. Yeah. It's going to get worse.
Keep clenching.
Yeah. Days passed after the surgery and Ronald noticed that something was wrong. Well, it ends up his doctor had actually stapled his rectum shut.
No! Oh! No, no, no. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
That'll make that clinch.
How do you do that?
Do I need to say that he's actually suing the doctor?
Do you need to say that? Wow. We're going to have to recreate that with somebody. That's the next bet. Next bet payoff.
Do you think that was a joke?
Do you think the guy was maybe mouthing off
or something before he goes, you know what, I'm going to staple this guy's butt closed.
I wonder if we can get a nurse or doctors right now, and we'll put you on the voice disguiser. If it's true, because I think Jeff makes a really good point here, I wonder if there aren't nurses that will treat you just a little bit worse, maybe accidentally can't find the vein when they're trying to find blood
if you're
a crappy patient. Maybe just make you go through a little bit more pain than you really have to. On the voice disguiser.
Fully, if you've got a bad attitude, I guarantee you, you're the last one to get the food tray. You're the one who gets the new nurse. Hey, Bert, welcome. Hi. Listen, this is Jen. She is training, and she is going to insert your catheter. Go ahead, Jen.
Yeah.
Those are the words you do not want to hear when you're a patient.
Right.
And training. She's in training. Uh-oh. She's not training. Next room. All right, the phone lines are ringing, I think, with nurses that are willing to either confess that, yes, they do that, or no, they don't. We'll get to those here in just a second.
Nobody's calling to say no, they don't, unfortunately.
We better use the voices, Kaiser, for that.
Yes. Yeah, without a doubt. All these calls will go up there. Sure. All right, the question here is, I mean, Melissa just told us a story about a doctor that stapled his patient's butt shut.
Butt shut.
Imagine this doctor coming home to his wife. Wife asks, how was the day today, hon? Boy, did I make a mistake. What'd you do? I mean, I couldn't be that bad, honey. I mean, it's just one day. Yeah. I stapled a patient's butt just shut today.
See, what happened was, he had this butt, and
we're assuming that no doctor would accidentally make that mistake. So we're wondering if doctors and nurses, if they have a patient that's kind of a pain in the booty, if you just put them through a little bit more pain than they really need to go through.
Said pain in the booty.
Yes.
This patient's a real pain in the ass. Bam!
I've actually seen a couple of people that have done things, you know, a little meaner. Like I was telling the woman that answered the phone, no, I haven't personally done it. I've probably been a little more mouthy with patients.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, yeah, it can happen. It can absolutely happen.
So the message here is loud and clear. I mean,
you know, then, too, I guess, you know, in the sense when it goes to the end, we're all humans, too.
Right. They're in control here.
Yeah.
She's not going to be the only one to call and say that.
Oh, no.
Good morning, Brian. You're on Q100.
Hey, Bert.
Hi. You're on the voice disguiser. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I'm a fireman. I'm going into work right now, and I promise you, the bigger the patient of how bad that you act up with us, the bigger the needle is and the more we miss.
Is that right? So you have actually missed somebody where you were going to shoot them purposely.
Oh, yeah.
What did they have to do to get you to that point?
Well, the calls that you get 3 o'clock in the morning for your tummy hurting, those are the main ones.
So if they're calling for something really superficial?
What's that?
If they're just calling for something that you think is superficial, you'll treat them kind of crappy?
Pretty much.
So if somebody calls you up and you go rushing over to their house and they're like, my cat scratched me, I think I'm going to get infected, then you shoot them up with giant needles full of antibiotics and...
No. We just missed the IV on purpose. Nothing with
animals. So you better be really careful.
We asked
for honesty.
Don't look at line 3.
I'm not taking 3 yet. Good morning, Becky. You're on
Q100. Don't take it at all, you sick man.
Hey. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I have to admit, this is our little way of getting back at the really mean patient. I'm an emergency room nurse, and I have to deal with all kinds of jerks all day long, and you just use a little bit bigger needle, or there's a medicine we can give with a numbing medicine because it burns really bad, but the mean ones don't get the numbing medicine.
Now, in emergency room, people are panicked and upset.
Why are you laughing?
And you know, it's not about, I know that people are panicked, but some people are just mean. I mean, they are mean. I'm not talking about you being... panicked or being, you know, kind of overreacting, and that's fine. But some people are so mean to the nurses and to the doctors, and you know what? You still have to treat us with respect even though you're feeling sick.
Becky, let me ask you this. How long were you a nurse before you did this for the very first time? Were you purposely stuck somebody?
I don't know. I've been a nurse for about 5 years, so I'm not quite burned out yet, but some days are worse than others.
I just want to let you know, applying a numbing cream that you know is going to sting is the gateway drug to leaving your profession. You will not be a nurse 1 year from now.
No, I like it. It's just, you know, just be nice to your nurses.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a lesson we learn here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Be nice to your medical professionals or they will torture you.
Good morning, John. You're on Q100. Hi.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, you're on The Voice Disguiser.
Been a paramedic for about 10 years now, and I can promise you, if you are a drunk driver that has hurt somebody, or if you're a child abuser or a spouse abuser, they're going to miss you more often, and I can promise you it's going to be the biggest needle they got. And they'll probably squeeze the bag and squeeze the fluids into you really fast. So when you get to the hospital, you got to pee really badly, too.
Yeah, we've done this with police officers before, and they've said the same thing, that... in the same cases, if you're messing with kids or there's some abuse going on, that the police officer may be a little bit rougher on you than he would somebody else.
They're jamming the needle into your arm the way you jam the fork into the little plastic wrap on a microwave meal. You know, you're just like, bam, 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 bam.
I think it got in there. That one I almost understand. Yeah. That one I kind of endorse.
Please don't tell me you're picking that one up.
I am.
Don't do it.
That's my closer call.
Oh, no.
Seriously.
This one's going to hurt.
Oh. This is a friendship effector.
Uh-oh.
Kathy, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, how are you?
Are you the call we're dreading?
Oh, yeah, I am. I promise you.
Okay.
This was not me, and it was not here, and it was about 30 years ago, but my brother was a nurse in the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get this guy that came in drunk all the time, just drunk and throwing up and disgusting and passed out. And so one time when he was passed out, they started his IV in his penis.
Hey,
yeah.
No,
I don't have one in that hurt.
No.
God bless.
Ooh. All right, so what is our lesson here? The lesson today here, Jen Hobby, is what?
Be nice to your nurses and doctors and EMTs.
And don't overreact, even if you're feeling really sick.
And if you're
fake it.
Drunk in the emergency room, put on a cup. glue it to you.
Now you know why they don't allow you to take pictures and video in emergency rooms.
Hey, The Bird Show.